Hi, this is Tony Alamo, World Pastor. This is program number 489. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape. They're free, including the postage and handling. I've got for you tonight some music, some gospel reading, some expounding on the Word of God, some letters. And I think I said music, amen. All right, so we've right now let's go to the throne of God in heaven and ask Him to anoint this program. Father, please. This is your program. I am your instrument. Use me to whatever end. We know what that end is for the winning of souls, for people to be given power, strength in your word, from your word, in your spirit. Lord, let every spirit, the new spirit that you have given them, with you living in them, be strengthened even more, and let the growth of the Lord Jesus Christ be mighty in everyone this evening, for the sinner to come to you so that they can become sons of God, and also to the saints and those who are about ready to throw in the towel because they, for the lack of understanding, have fallen away, have perished, and are on their way to hell. Let this not be, Lord God. Let the word flow directly from your servant to the people in the world and the churches in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, please do not forget to rebuke Satan and send many dollars into this church, Lord, because we really need it to get the gospel out throughout the entire world. I ask it in Jesus' mighty name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now we have Fake Springman. And the Bible tells us that we must continue on to the end. That means we have to keep riding on into the end of our lives or until the Lord comes back. And this is, it's the same thing with onward Christian soldiers. We must keep on going. So here's Fake Springman to sing for you right on King Jesus. Praise the Lord. I really love the way that Craig Springman sings that, and I've noticed that on these different programs. There was a lady that sang this song after I've been playing it for quite a while, and she sounded great singing it too. I'm sorry I didn't get a handle on her name, but she was really great. She had a voice, female voice, similar to, not just similar to Peg Springman's, but hers. She had that operatic type style that he has. Now, I'd like to state some positive things, or positive things which are related directly to our spirit. Now, we have a spirit, we have a soul, and we have a body. So the dividing of the spirit and the soul, we have to divide the spirit from the soul. I'm going to talk about this first. The silent implication of Hebrews 4:12. Okay, read Hebrews 4:12 is whether we are living by intuitive guidance in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is what gives us the intuitiveness of the Spirit, or by the naturally good or bad influence of the soul. Okay, Hebrews, what is it?
4:12,
yes.
For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword.
Right, so it's quick. And so people that are pondering whether they're doing something right or wrong, they don't know what's right and they don't know what's wrong because they're not walking after the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit of God is quick. It lets you know what's right or wrong immediately. I have pastoring several churches, hundreds of them. I have to know how to, because I'm so busy. The Lord, the Holy Spirit, must be my guide. People are calling up, hundreds of them sometimes in a day, or the questions from letters. And I have to know, stay before the throne of the Lord to find out. I don't want to be influenced by the soul. I have to give them correct answers, or I'm going to stand judgment for the things that I say. So the Word of God must be the judge. I must be standing there with Him, or sitting with Him in heavenly places, in this particular respect, in order to be able to be so quick with my answers. Some people have said, how is it that He knows everything? I don't know anything, really, save Christ and Him crucified, but I know that the Spirit that talks to my spirit, and my spirit is interested only in staying close to the Lord, because I know that His answers are quick and powerful. I read it again. The Spirit is quick and powerful. The double-edged sword is quick and powerful. What else?
And sharper than any
tool. And sharp. Sharper than your carnal minds and my carnal mind. Okay? And does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, I heard a few people say. Only God's sharp sword can differentiate the source of the way we live, of our living. Because so many people are walking around depressed. They say, I wish I knew what God was going to do. And I was wondering, I just wish I could get answers from the Lord. Well, the Lord is quick and powerful. And if you're living close to Him, if you're living in His Holy Spirit, if you're living not by your soul, because if you're influenced by your soul and your body is influenced by your soul rather than the spirit, your spirit, well, of course, you don't have any answers for anything. You're like a dumb ox walking around on Madison Avenue or Broadway in New York with all the traffic. You don't know what's happening. Okay, so God's sharp sword can differentiate the source of our living or our life. just as a man's knife, I could take a knife out, and I can cut and divide joints and marrow with that knife, so I can tell what to do. I know how to take apart a chicken and cut the wings off, and the legs and the thighs and the back and the breast and so on and so forth, and the Lord knows how to do that too. Because we know about carnal things, but do you know about the knife of the Lord? So God's fast sword, His Word, as well pierces and separates the most intimately linked spirit and soul. Because we have to be cut away from our soul. We have to just be operating by the Spirit. We can't let the body, with all the lusts that are lodged in it, determine what we're going to do or say or think or want to know what to do in the future or what's coming up in the future. It's only by our Spirit. Those that love the Lord worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen?
Amen.
According to our spirit, not our soul, because the Lord lives in the spirit, not the soul. Well, the soul is in the body, but there's a difference between the spirit, the soul, and the body. Initially, such dividing may be simply a matter of knowledge, but it essentially that it enters the realm of the experience. Otherwise, it shall, in fact, never be understood. Christians, for the real believers, must allow the Lord to introduce this cleaving of spirit and soul. What does that mean, that the believers must allow the Lord to introduce this separation or cleaving of spirit and soul, the dividing of spirit and soul into their practical walk? What does that mean? Does anybody know? Everybody's just in the dark. They're on Madison Avenue with the rest of the oxen, the cattle. That's what the Vatican calls people. As you said, they're cattle. Not only must they seek in a positive way with consecration, prayer, and yieldness to the operation of the Holy Spirit with, there has to be something else there included, to the operation of the Holy Spirit, and you have to learn the operation of the cross. The cross and the Holy Spirit. But also they must actually possess such experience. You must actually possess it. You know, you can hear all kinds of people talking through God's Spirit, through their spirit. But yes, if you don't have the experience, you don't possess experience. You're young in the Lord, and therefore the Lord tells you not to do any teaching, because if you do, you're going to fall into the same condemnation as the devil. And what is the condemnation of the devil but to spend eternity in the lake of fire? And then when death and hell is cast into the lake of fire, that's where everything in hell goes. Their spirit needs to be liberated from the soul's binding enclosure. Like this, the spirit is in jail with the soul. It's like imprisoned. It's enclosed. And the spirit needs to be set loose, liberated from the soul's binding enclosure, from the prison. These two must be parted clearly and cleanly, even as the spirit and the soul of the Lord Jesus were not one, but mixed. The intuitive spirit needs to be set free entirely from any influence which may come from the soul. So we have an intuition, a spirit that has intuitiveness. It needs to be set free, liberated entirely from any influence. No influence can come from the soul or the soulful mind and the soulful emotions, because the body is influenced emotionally by the world and all the lusts that are in the body. So we must walk by the Spirit and worship the Lord by our spirit and by the Word of God, which is truth. The Spirit must be a soul residence and office of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit must reside only in this our spirit. The Spirit must be the soul place where God's office and residence is. Where does the Lord reside? Well, in the kingdom of heaven. But if you want to go to heaven, if you're of the kingdom of heaven, the Lord must reside in you, and his office must be in you. The Lord resides, his residence, which is your spirit, is the residence and office of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is God. God is a spirit. He is the Holy Spirit, and those that worship him must worship him not by soul or body, but by the Holy Spirit, by your spirit. It must be released from every disturbance of the soul. Now, the soul disturbs people all day long, and the body does too. The body reacts to different things that are happening during the day, and the soul starts getting emotional, and the spirit, though, has to be trained to where it controls both soul and body. The various experiences of having our outer and inner man divided will make a believer spiritual. Now, you can believe that in Jesus, as I said yesterday, you know, the sinners out in the world, they all have Bibles, but those of us have the dividing of the spirit, soul, and body, and we walk by the Spirit, and we worship the Lord by the Spirit. And we have the mind of Christ. People that carry a Bible don't have the mind of Christ, really, unless they've, by choice or by choice that we have an option to do good or evil. We have to make that up in our minds, in our spirit. So, the various experiences of having our outer and inner man divided, our outer man and our inner man are divided with the Word of God, will make, if we do that, if we divide the spirit and soul, and body, then that will make a believer out of us, a spiritual man out of us. A spiritual believer is different from other believers for the simple reason that his entire being is governed by his spirit. So this, our spirit has to govern the soul and the body, where the soul, the body, and our spirit become one. So this is different than just saying, well, we believe all these things, but we have never taken the initiative to rule the soul and the body by the Spirit. So we're different, those of us that are spiritual. The spiritual believer is much different from other believers, for the spiritual and simple reason that our entire being is governed by our spirit. Such spirit control connotes more than the Holy Spirit's authority over the soul and body. It's much more than that. Talking about the body of man, it also signifies that man's own spirit, upon being elevated as head, is the head, and as the head over the entire man, body, soul, and spirit, through the working of the Holy Spirit and the cross. It's no longer ruled by the soul and body, but is powerful enough to subject both of them, the body and the soul, to the Spirit's rule. The division of these two organisms is necessary for entering spiritual life. It is their preparation without which believers shall continue to be affected by the soul, and therefore shall always pursue a mixed course, a mixed life of belief and unbelief. Okay, and so one of the things that we have to, I was talking yesterday about dangerous errors, heresy, fathered upon the scriptures as sprung out from the womb of Satan. And I mentioned about the Sadducees. The ground that they stood on, in which they went for their denying the resurrection. Now, what point would there be to be a Christian if there was no resurrection of the dead? They owned the Bible, the five books of Moses, for the Word of God, so they were able to get the Word of God out of there, and it mentions resurrection. And yet they denied the resurrection asserted therein, because it seemed so impossible a thing to their reasoning, their carnal minds, and their souls, and their body, because they didn't walk by faith, but they walked by sight. That it was impossible, they thought, that our bodies, after many alterations, first into slime, and then our body shall turn into dust, should stand up in life again. This their reasoning laughed at, and the reasoning of people today laugh at, for so our Savior's answer plainly shows, quote, Jesus said, you err. You make a mistake, a big mistake, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God, Matthew 22:29. Well, I'll stop here for a few minutes while we read some letters. You want to hear some letters out there in Radio Land? Okay, we'll do it then. All right, Michelle, where's the first letter from?
From Lawrenceville, Georgia.
Okay.
Praise the Lord, Tony Alamo. My name is Lewis. I am an inmate at Gwinnett County Detention Center in Lawrenceville, Georgia. First, let me say that God is good. See, I'm a roommate of one of your followers, and he allowed me to read some of your literature, and I was really moved by the Spirit, especially Raising the Roof, The Antichrist Unmasked, and I am now reading his copy of Messiah. God has really moved in my life through this literature. I'm just writing to say thank you. I also want to be added to your mail list and would like my own copy of the Messiah. May God bless you and keep you. Thank you for being a true follower and leader. May God bless you, you true man of God. Sincerely, Lewis from Lawrenceville, Georgia.
The Lord bless you too, and God bless you, and we'll send that literature to you already if we haven't already done it. Usually our mail room is on that just like flies on honey. All right, let's, okay, now, when you know the scriptures and you feel the power of God on you, then you're able to believe the resurrection. But the Sadducees err, knowing the scriptures, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. That's Matthew 22:29. Okay, where's the next letter? You have another letter there?
Yes.
Okay, let's hear that.
From Monrovia, Liberia.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Lamo, it is my greatest pleasure to write you these humble words of mine. I hope by the grace of God everything is moving on smoothly. Pastor, I want to thank you ever so much for sending me a package with a good amount of literature. After going through the newsletters and booklets, to be specific, the Five Steps to Salvation and the Messiah Book are the literatures which really touched my heart the most. I have decided to come to light because I was doing so many things in the darkness. Pastor, I am now a born-again Christian and a son of the living God. I have no Bible, so if possible, please send me one, including as many copies of the Five Steps to Salvation and the Messiah Book as possible. I would also appreciate any other books that can help me to know God well. I also want to thank you for making me a part of the Lord's Compassionate Soul Winning Team. I am now one of the distributors of the Lord's Gospel Literature. I would like to end here, and I believe that you have accepted my request. Thank you, and may the Lord God bless you. Yours faithfully, Joseph from Monrovia, Liberia, Africa.
All right, praise the Lord. Well, it's separating the soul from the spirit. There you must take different instructions from the Lord in order for your spirit to be built up, a spiritual house, to where it dominates the soul and the body. So another instruction or direction of what to do is to, we must compare. You must be sincere about entering the kingdom of heaven. And if you are, you're going to compare the scriptures with the scriptures. False doctrine, like false witnesses, agree not among themselves. You can get a room full of people that are false, and there's no agreement there whatsoever. But if people are all Christians and they have the Spirit, they agree with the Scriptures because they have already compared the Scriptures with the Scriptures. So, like false witnesses, agree not among themselves. Their name may be called, quote, Legion, for they are many, unquote. But truth is, everyone that has the truth are one. Amen? They agree. That's why the Lord states that we're not to be. How can two walk together if they first don't agree? How can you be, I be a Christian, and then be married to a woman that wouldn't agree with the scriptures? It's impossible, because two cannot walk together unless they agree. The truth is not divided, but it's one. Not many, not legion. It is one homogenea. It's homogenized into one. One scripture surely and sweetly harmonizes with another. And that's the truth. If one scripture harmonizes with another, then it's got to be the truth. Therefore, it is, though there were many people who wrote the scriptures, the sacred holy writ, and those of several different ages, all these different writers came from different ages, one after another, yet they are all said to have but one mouth. Quote, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets. So there's just one author, and that's the Lord. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. Unquote. Luke 1:70. All had one mouth because they accord so perfectly together. There's no discrepancy from one book of the Bible or one scripture in the Bible to the other. If they didn't agree, well, then we would not have the truth. The best way, therefore, to know the mind of God in one text is to lay the scriptures to another scripture. The lapidary, these are people that work with diamonds, the lapidary uses one diamond to cut another. So must we use one place of scripture to interpret another scripture? Holy scriptures compared one to another like glasses set one against another cast a beautiful light, each to another. Quote, they, i.e., the Levites, they were read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Now the Lord said, believe what these Levites say. They could say the ones that studied the law and knew the law. But he said, do what they say. Listen to what they're saying because they know the Bible. But don't do as they do. Because there's a lot of people carrying Bibles today and professing the Word of God, but they don't at all do what the Lord tells them to do. I'm sure many of you have seen that. So Nehemiah 8:8. You can be looking that up if you like. And cause them to understand the reading, the book of the law of God. And gives the intelligence and cause them to understand the reading of the Word of God, Nehemiah 8:8. They are able to comprehend Scripture by doing so. Do you understand? So what they do is give the meaning of what they read by the Scripture itself. When comparing Scripture with Scripture, be careful that you interpret obscure places by the more plain and clear scriptures and not the clear by the dark. I wonder if any of you know what I just said. Do you know what that means? They're all shaking their head no. In other words, they're not paying attention to what I'm saying. Because if you compared what I said before with what I just said now, then you would be able to know what I said. When comparing Scripture with Scripture, be careful that you interpret obscure places. The Apostle Peter stated that some of the things that the Apostle Paul said were hard to understand, didn't he?
Yes.
So what that meant is some of the words of the Bible are obscure. They're dark places by the more, and that you interpret these obscure places by the more plain and clear scriptures, the ones that are not hard to understand, and not be clear by the dark, because you're not able to look at a dark scripture, one that's hard to be understood unless you're comparing scripture with scripture. That's what this I'm talking about, because if this message doesn't ring into your spirit, you're not going to know what any of these messages are, because you just think that something is more important to think about while the scriptures are being read and the explanation of the scriptures. Okay, do you finally have Nehemiah 8:8?
Yes.
Okay, what does it say?
So they read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading.
The sense and gave the sense. What does that mean?
Gave the understanding of the scriptures.
Yeah, they made sense. The scriptures made sense to them. But if I'm telling you about the things of the Lord and breaking it down in such an explicit manner, and you say you don't know what I'm saying, that means that you're not paying attention, or else you have an impediment in your brain, in your soul, your spirit, your mind. So when comparing scripture, and why you compare scripture with scripture, is you so that you able to know how to serve the Lord and to worship the Lord, because if you don't know that, you won't be able to get into heaven, because then you're ignorant. And the Bible states that people, that many people are cut off, are completely lost because of their ignorance, because they perish because of the lack of knowledge. And what my messages are is about knowledge, to know how to rightly divide the scriptures. And some people just sit and pick their fingernails, but it's obvious that they don't seem to value immortality in heaven, because I can break it down to the nth degree that makes sense out of it, and you've got a bunch of dummies that are trying to act intelligent by thinking that they don't need to hear it. What the Spirit is saying unto the churches, it's obvious you don't have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. In other words, you think that I'm just running my mouth. No, it's just that you're quite a bit dopey, that you don't have any sense, because you don't make sense of the scriptures, because you don't listen to them closely enough, and the instructions of how to be able to know what the scriptures are saying. So when comparing scripture with scripture, I'm saying, and the Spirit says, be careful when you're not careful at all about anything, that you interpret correctly the obscure places, the dark places, by the more plain and clear scriptures, the ones that are easy to understand, and not the clear by the dark. You can't take the obscure scriptures and find out what the clear scriptures mean. You have to take the clear scriptures and compare them with the obscure, the dark scriptures, the scriptures that the Lord has hidden, because it's the glory of the Lord to hide the import of the scriptures, but it's the glory of kings to seek them out. Isn't that what the scriptures say?
Amen.
Mean. For error, if you don't, error, in other words, heresy, will creep into the most shady, obscure places. And there, these heresies will take sanctuary in you. And there's so many people in churches that you can see that are as haywire and heretics as they could possibly be. Quote, some things hard to be understood, which they that our unstable souls wrestle or rest, the Bible says, with them. Or you wrestle with them. You're not supposed to be wrestling with the scriptures. You're supposed to be comparing the hard-to-understand scriptures with the clear ones. Do you understand?
Yes.
Well, how are you going to... I don't believe that you're sincere enough to do that. Because you look like you're asleep, some of you people here. No wonder they should stumble in those dark and difficult places when they turn their backs on that light which plainer scriptures afford to lead them safely through. But they're not interested enough in eternal life to actually go through all that trouble. It's too troublesome for them. They'd rather play with the kids and to get some fresh air and to read catalogs and the such. Quote, he that is born of God will not sin. He that is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Unquote. That's 1 John, verse 18. Well, then how come there's so many mistakes in the churches? How much stupidity? Because they're not born of God. Because they sin. He that is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keeps his soul, his spirit, keepeth himself. And that wicked one, the devil, toucheth him not. Again, 1 John verse 8. This is a dark place which some run away with. Inform it, conclude, there is a perfect state free from all sin attainable in this life. In other words, there can be perfection in this life, different than what the false prophets filled with heresy say. What the heresy says, there's no perfection, that no one is perfect. I don't care how godly you may think they look, or how studious you think they look. They're not studious if they're heretics. If they're lazy, if they don't follow these instructions, they're not studious. So these false prophets are filled with heresy, whereas a multitude of plain scriptures testify against such a conclusion. Well, there's multitudes of plain scriptures that say that the Lord hates false prophets and heretics that don't take the time to study, to lay one scripture against the other, the plain scriptures against the dark ones. That's 1 Kings 8:38, Psalms 20:9, Ecclesiastes 7:20, Job 9:20, Philippians 3:12, 1 John 1:8-10. With many more scriptures than that, it must be in a limited and qualified sense that, quote, he that is born of God sinneth not, unquote. And sinning is not paying any attention to the leader that God has set over you. You stink in the nostrils of God. And you never change because you got a lazy spirit, one that doesn't believe that it's possible to live solely in the spirit, but you love to fall away into the soul life during the day. So, you know, a person that is born of God, they may do sinning by ignorance, not sins of death, though. He sins not finally or comparatively, not as the carnal wretch does. Quote, "And that wicked one toucheth him not," unquote. That's not to transfuse his own nature in deposition into himself, rather his own disposition into himself. It's not to transfuse his own nature and disposition into himself. As the fire touches the iron or wood, it comes near, simulating then, to its own nature. This rule of using plain scripture to be a key or to unlock obscure will hold in every other instance, and blessed be God. Though to tame our pride, he has inserted some hard wood passages. It's hard to understand some passages. That's to try to knock down your pride, but it never does. Because you just think, you're a know-it-all. A know-it-all, know-nothing. Hard wood passages are hard to understand, yet the necessary saving truths are of easy access. You can be saved. Even to the weakest understanding, they can be understood. There's enough in the plain places of Scripture to keep the weak from starving to death spiritually, and in the obscure to lift them above contempt of the strongest. There's another thing that you need to learn regarding the scriptures. This is number six, or it's a direction or consult. It is means that you're to consult with your faithful guides. When people don't call me, I'm the guide that the Lord has set over the church. And the scripture reads that you're to consult with your faithful guides, which God has set over you. You're not to think that you're smarter than they are, because you really don't even understand what they're saying when they're talking to you. That should break your pride somewhat, but it doesn't. You just keep coming back like a rubber ball being thrown against a wall. It bounces right back to you. Bobby V said it in a song back in the 60s, "Bouncy, bouncy." Consult with your faithful guides, which God has set over you in his church. Though people are not to pin their faith on the minister's sleeve, I mean, you have to carry the double-edged sword yourself. Yet they are to, quote, "seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts," Malachi 2:7. Christ directs his kids to their safety, and they turn not aside unto bypaths of error, and fall not into the hands of false teachers, those cheaters, those cheating companions that they go go with. They go, quote, forth by the footsteps of the flock and feed, ... beside the shepherd's tents. That's in the Song of Solomon's 1:8. The devil knows too well, quote, and away. They say to him, send away this shepherd, and he may soon catch the sheep, unquote. Yeah, if the shepherd goes away, the Apostle Paul said, when he goes away, that the devil's going to catch every single one of those people that he was the pastor of. That's why the sixth instruction is to ask. Not the baby Christians. We have a flock in some of our churches that they like to direct people. They think that they're teachers, and they're not even close to it. And that's why the church never fills up, because people that go to the certain churches that I have that are, because I'm away from the church, and they love to not ask the guard that God has set over them, but they like to just boast themselves to be something that they're not. They raise themselves up. But the Lord would not have you do that. God set a guide over you. And there's some people ask a lot of questions, but there's some that you never hear from. That means that they're far from the Lord. Well, the time is up, and so say this prayer and you'll be saved, born again of the Spirit. If you want to follow the guide of the guide that the Lord put over you, say this prayer. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins, and I believe that God raised Jesus, you Father, raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. Say this, I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my former filthy sins away in the precious blood you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. And I just praise and thank the Lord. And Sharon, tell the radio audience how to receive a copy of this audio tape or CD, number 489. It's free, including postage and handling. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, that's 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. Well, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying tune in again tomorrow for another powerful message of getting you on your way to eternal life. And right now, this is myself singing, Tony Alamo singing, Onward Christian Soldiers.
National attention has been focused on banner headlines proclaiming Christians are being kidnapped, tortured, committed to mental institutions, accused of brainwashing and mind control. Arise, Christian America. The King is coming. Hold fast. The day of the Lord is here.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the Royal Master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see him. with.